Skip Holtz joins us on Sports Byline USA, the fine head coach at Southern Florida, and, of course, the son of the legendary coach Lou Holtz. You know, when somebody is the son of somebody who's been very successful, and I think of the son of Mickey Mantle or Yogi Berra's son when it came to baseball, trying to follow in the footsteps of their father, it's always difficult. Was it hard for you, or was it just kind of natural for you, Skip?
You know, it's really been natural for me. And obviously, I'm not trying to be the next Lou Holtz. I'd look like Bozo the Clown with size 32 shoes on, trying to fill those shoes with everything to be accomplished. But it's been natural to me from a standpoint that I've learned from one of the best in the game. And I've been fortunate to coach with him for 10 years, and Bobby Bowden and Errol Bruce. And I've really been blessed. And so as I am now in the coaching world, not trying to be the next Lou Holtz, just trying to be the best Skip Holtz I can be, and I've truly been blessed to have the opportunity to be in this great game.
You know, when you talk about the Errol Bruces and the Bobby Bowdens and your dad and everything, all of them have been successful. What's the commonality that you have found that they all had?
You know, the biggest thing that I say, because, you know, Errol Bruce and my father liked to run the ball from that old Woody Hayes school of thought in Ohio, where Bobby Bowden was wide open and throw the ball. But the one thing that's constant, I'll say the two things that's constant with both of them, with all three of them, is they all coach fundamentals and understand the game is about blocking and tackling and not the X's and O's and the schemes and how you draw them all up. The second thing is I think they're all three great teachers alike. They take the parallels from football to real-world life and experiences, and I think they do a great job of teaching young men how to be accountable, reliable, dependable young men that have a chance to be successful in life.
You know, you bring up a very interesting point. I think that was something that was capable when your dad was coaching, and I wonder whether it's still capable of doing that. In other words, teaching kids about life. And I say that only because we seem to live in a society, Skip, where it's, what have you done for me lately?
Well, it is. There's no doubt that it's a win profession. I mean, it is a win profession, and that's how you are evaluated by your success or failures. But in the coaching world, I think there's a lot of people that are still trying to coach that don't get caught up just in the wins and losses and the pressure to win and lose and make sure that they maintain the dignity in the game and they do what they have to do to teach the young men to go on to be responsible, accountable, reliable people in life that have a chance to go be successful. And I think that's why you see so many of these players that come back and support so many of these coaches so much, is because they realize what they've done for them in the big picture and giving them a chance to be successful, not just in blocking and tackling, but in how to become a man.
You have a very interesting perspective on your dad, because you were not only an assistant coach under him, you played a year under him as well at Notre Dame, which I did not know. And so your perspective is that of a player for your dad, but also as an assistant coach. What did you notice as a player playing for him?
Well, Ron, I'll say this. The greatest experience of my life was having the opportunity to play for my father. And probably the worst experiences of my life was to play for my father. So I say that with, as his son, he was hard on me, he was demanding on me, but I understand also that it has to be that way for me to be accepted in the locker room. And so he was very hard on me, he was very demanding on me, but he was also very fair. He raised me for 18 years as a son growing up, and so he taught me the difference between right and wrong. And I remember one time when he was disciplining me more than everybody else, and I went in and saw him, and I said, that's not fair, that I'm being given a worse punishment than other players on the team that had the same crime. And he said, well, the difference is I know you know better because I taught you better than that, so that's why I'm punishing you worse. But it was a great experience. It was great for our relationship to have the opportunity to come back and play for him after I'd been out of the home for 3 years. It was great to have the opportunity to play because he came to Notre Dame my very last season there.
I've talked to a couple of players that played for your dad as well, and I remember one of them, a friend of mine, telling me there was always somebody on the team who could imitate your dad.
Yes.
Now, tell me a little bit about the inside. I mean, obviously, you're the coach's son, but there was always something about your dad that brought out a little bit of humor in the kids, didn't it?
Well, he is incredibly demanding and very hard on this football team, but he's got a unique ability because of his sense of humor and his wit that no matter how serious the circumstances may be, he could bring a team to laughter. And he found a way to make it fun and jovial. Now, on the field, he was demanding. He was hard. He pushed everybody farther than they felt they could push themselves. But like I said, that sense of humor and the wit that he has, he always found a way to keep people laughing. And so there was always somebody that could imitate him, that could imitate that lisp and talk when he started getting mad and open one side of their mouth. But I also think it was out of a great respect that people imitate him because of what he meant to so many players on that team.
Skip, everywhere you've been successful, and I know you were the offensive coordinator at Notre Dame when your dad was there, and, of course, they had a 48-1 record, winning the Cotton Bowl twice. You were then hired at the University of Connecticut as the head coach in 93, and you lifted that program from a Division I AA to a Division I A, and you were 34-23. You seem to be the type of person that has always enjoyed a challenge. How do you approach the challenges that you have had?
Well, I think that is the challenge. We talked about it before in building a program, and I think winning is a result of building a program, of putting young men in place and building depth and getting them to be accountable, reliable, and trustworthy with all the intangible things of hard work and attitude and those things you talk about, how to overcome adversity. And those are the challenges that I love in football, is putting a team together, not just recruiting height, strength, speed, talent, but being able to recruit young men that are going to come in and fit into a system. And I've enjoyed building Connecticut. I enjoyed building East Carolina as the head coach there. And what we've been doing at South Florida now for the couple of years is a very young program, only being in the Division I level now for 7 years, but having the opportunity to have some big wins in our history, 7 year history. Went beating Notre Dame last year, and then we've had wins against Miami and Clemson and Florida State and Auburn and North Carolina. We've had some big wins in our program, but what we have to build is we have to build that season, and that's only put together with the team that will buy into your concepts, and those are the challenges we have, and that's what gets you out of bed every morning all excited to go to work. So I have a great situation. I really enjoy our football team and the young men that we have working on it, and I think that we have a chance to be a really good football team this year. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out.
You mentioned about South Florida, and I remember the time, of course, when it was dominated by Miami, and, of course, then the three schools, Florida State, Florida, and Miami. It seems like the playing field has become balanced, that there are schools like Southern Florida and maybe Florida International and others that are now being able to get homegrown talent and able to compete on an even playing field. Am I correct about that? And what changed the dynamic in that state?
Well, I think there's so much talent in that state, but it is a very heavily recruited state as well, especially with the internet and the exposure that these athletes are getting today. You see Southern Cal, Oregon, you see a lot of people from all over the country. We've got teams from Texas that are recruiting the state. There's a lot of people that recruit that state, but there's a lot of talent in that state as well. And when you look at Florida, Florida State, Miami, and South Florida being the four, quote, BCS teams in that state, and with Central Florida's addition into the Big East, I think it's going to bring one more. But there is a lot of talent there. I think the high school coaches do a great job in that state. With all these 7-on-7s and year-round commitment that it takes from the athletes today. But I think as the high school football continues to improve with the great high school coaching we have, I also think you're going to see all the programs in the state improve with it.
Skip, take me back to when you started as a coach and now move forward to where you are as a coach today and the influences in an athlete's life. It seems like to me that for the coach that goes in and tries to talk to him about getting an education as well as playing athletically, that there's a lot of people whispering in the ears of athletes today, and there's such competition for the kids that I don't know how they make the decisions they make. How much more difficult is it for you as a coach today than it was, say, 15, 20 years ago?
Well, I think with the money that has gone to professional athletes, it gets harder and harder because so many of their goals are to play professional sports. And I think that as a coach, you want somebody that has that lofty goal and expectation, but we also have to keep it all in perspective. If a young man, I think the average stay in the NFL is about 3.8 years. If a young man graduates from college at 22 and plays for 3 years in the NFL, he's still 25 with a whole life to live. And you just have to have the opportunity. You have to be able to sell to these young men that this is not a four-year decision you're making about going to play in the NFL, but also a 40-year decision about getting a degree and going on and carrying on the next 50 years of your life when your football career is over. And so I think that's one of the things that makes me so proud about what we've accomplished with where we are. We've made the highest APR, which is the the progress rate that the academic progress rate that they keep in the NCAA today, and we've had the highest jump in any BCS team in the last 2 years in a row. And that's one of the things that I'm most proud about is the number of athletes that are graduating, because ultimately, like you said, we're judged in our wins and losses, but with the relationships with the young men and sitting in their living rooms and talking to them, their families, about making sure that their son is going to graduate and walk away with a degree, I think in the long run, in the big picture, that's a much more important part of the equation than a lot of people put into it.
I think you know as well as I do, Skip, that when you get hired at a university or any other coach gets hired, it's usually because the coach before you, it did not work out. And I know when you go in, they're asking you, we want you to build this program. How is that build this program defined today in college athletics and football?
Well, it's defined, unfortunately, it's defined solely on wins and losses. I mean, when you look at coaches around the country that are being hired and fired, they're the ones that are having the most success on the field. And that's why the pressure to win is put so great. And some people are willing to sacrifice the things that are really important from a long-term picture to get a short-term goal. But I think when you ask me the question about what I learned from a Bobby Bowden, from an Earl Bruce, and a Lou Holtz, I think all three of them coached the game with integrity. They not only won, but they graduated their players, and they did it with character and class.
Is it hard to keep the game fun for a coach because it's so demanding? It used to be there was an off season, and you and I both know now, Skip, there is no such thing as an off season.
No, there's not, especially with recruiting going on year-round now. And then you have your athletes year-round and with spring practice and winter workouts and everything we have, it does go year-round. And it's easy to get caught into the grind and lose perspective of what this is all about. But I think being around the players is what makes it fun to me. That's my sanctuary, being out on the grass with them and being around them. And young people keep you young today. And so as long as you can keep a smile on everybody's face and keep in perspective what we're trying to get done, I do believe it's one of the greatest professions, not just because of the rewards you get because of publicity if you win, but because of the relationships that you have the opportunity to build with young people and making a difference in young people's lives.
We only have a couple of minutes, but Skip, when you look at the athlete today that's playing college football and think back to when you started as an assistant coach, the athlete that was playing, what are the biggest changes that you see?
Well, I think that it's just the game has changed, and you alluded to it a second ago, Ron, when you talked about it's year-round. You hear the stories, well, we never got hurt, we played both ways. We did this and that, and we didn't have the injuries we have today. But I think today, with what we know with nutrition and with strength conditioning, we are maximizing the bodies today. The bodies are maximized, and we're learning more and more about it, just what we're going through with concussions right now and how much we're learning about that and what we need to do to protect the young men playing this game today. But I think the biggest thing that has changed the game is getting so much bigger and so much faster and so much more physical than it was. I think obviously some schemes are changing. You see much more spread and run and shoot type of mindsets in the game today. But I think the biggest difference is the young men and the commitment that they're making year round and what they're doing with their bodies, which is changing the size and the speed of the game.
Skip, as you know, we're heard worldwide on the American Forces Network. That means our troops over in Afghanistan get a chance to hear you tonight and the show each night, and also other bases around the world. I know you want to send a shout-out to those men and women.
Without a doubt, and just the great respect that we have for all the men and women that are defending our country, that are out earning the freedoms that we have the opportunity to celebrate on a day-to-day basis. And we put our head on our pillow every night, and we go to sleep in a very comfortable environment because of the sacrifices so many of the men and women in our military are making for us to be able to do so. And I just want to say thank you to all the men and women who are serving for our great country. We love you, we appreciate you, and we are very grateful for what you're doing for us on a daily basis.
And Skip, I want to thank you very much for joining me. I've wanted to have you on for a long time because I've talked about you many times when I've had your dad on the show or in the studio here, and the apple doesn't fall very far from the tree. Thank you. I'm going to stay in touch with you, and we'll stay in touch with that South Florida program. Continued good luck, Skip.
I appreciate it, Ron, and likewise. I appreciate you having me on because I've always had great respect for you, and I've heard so many positive things about the professionalism in which you carry yourself. And so I just want to say thank you to you as well. It's been an honor and pleasure, and I look forward to talking to you again.
Okay, Skip, take care. Skip Holtz, the son of the legendary coach Lou Holtz, but in his own right, a very successful coach, head coach at South Florida. We continue across the country and around the world. We've got you on America's Sports Talk Show.